Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to Mystic Truth Radio. Today we have a show that we're airing right on the heels of last week's show. We are in the month of October, the year 2015, and we just did a show last week on breast cancer awareness and how to actually transition to becoming a survivor. And on the heels of that, today Dana Zimmerman and I, hi Dana.
Hi Elaine, hi everyone that's joining us.
Well, today, I am Elaine Reed Cole, and today we're going to actually talk about complementary and alternative and integrative options when you are faced with cancer and other illnesses, too. One of the things that I want to point out is quite often when somebody has a situation where they have been diagnosed with cancer, there is more than one ailment going on in their body. So, you know, we're going to try to cover what we can offer you as far as trying to go through this as smoothly as possible, some of the things that you can be aware of, and, you know, maybe things that are a little outside of the box. So was that a good intro on that, Dana? I hope.
It is, and we're calling the show Complementary, Alternative, and Integrative Options. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe we ought to elaborate on that a little bit. It's in our write-up of the show, but for people that don't know what that means, you know, complementary medicine are treatments that are used along with standard medical treatments, but not necessarily considered to be standard treatments. For one example of that is using acupuncture to help lessen some side effects of chemotherapy, which
right.
When my husband was undergoing chemotherapy after his colon cancer surgery, he did get acupuncture, and it's really helpful to detox the body from the harmful chemicals that come from the chemotherapy. But it's also very useful to reduce the side effects, things like nausea and body discomfort and things like that. So that would be an example of a complementary treatment.
Yep.
Alternative medicine is treatments that are used instead of standard medical treatments. One example is a special diet to treat cancer instead of anti-cancer drugs that are prescribed by an oncologist. Or, you know, even more so, looking at the cover of Time, October 12th, there's a picture of a woman with her hand cupped over her breast, and it talks about breast cancer's new frontier. And the headline is, "What if I decide to do nothing?"
Yep.
And this whole article talks about keeping a watchful eye on these like very low stage breast cancers, and just instead of going in and immediately doing a mastectomy, that kind of thing, they're talking about an alternative that might be more less invasive and more practical for the patient, which is just, you know, watch and wait and keep observing this thing and see what it's going to do.
Right.
So even doctors are now giving alternative medicine treatments to their own conventional treatments.
Well, you know, when you check out the history of something, say like breast cancer, and you see what they've gone through and over, you know, God, the past, you know, 100 years, when they first started out, they would do something called the radical mastectomy, thinking that, you know, if they took more and more and more of all of the surrounding tissues, right down to the muscle that was left underneath, you know, like all the pectoral muscles and you name it, you know, so dig deeper, take more, dig deeper, take more. And, you know, they actually found that that did more harm than not. It didn't have a better survival rate. The survival was actually the same when they, you know, compared it to lesser, like a double mastectomy, not a radical mastectomy. And so, you know, as far as conventional medicine goes, sometimes their approach is so extreme because they're fishing for an answer also. So, this is that whole thing of, God, be your own advocate. Be wise about it. If your gut is telling you, yeah, that's not the approach, just don't be led by the nose into something. They can make mistakes, too. In their research, they can make mistakes. So luckily, the whole radical mastectomy approach is no longer used. And we've gone down to, you know, mastectomies and then lumpectomies. And, these are all choices. You do it depending upon what kind of cancer.
You know, like you said, with similar mortality rates and that the more invasive surgeries were over treatment, you know, and some of the more invasive chemotherapies and radiation afterwards is over treating it. And that's why, you know, they're actually looking, and it's on the cover of Time magazine, at a non-surgical, like watchful waiting approach, and seeing that the less invasive approach hasn't so far, at least the trials they've done, affected mortality rates.
Yeah.
So we, we don't want to over-diagnose and over-treat is what they're saying, and we're really looking at a lot of that maybe being unnecessary care.
Now, I have not seen this article that you're talking about, sorry to say, but I have not. Now, with these women that they are referring to that watch and wait, have they actually done biopsies, or are these just from mammogram, like images that they're saying, okay, we're going to wait?
This particular article is aimed at the what they call the DCIS clusters of cancer cells, which are the little ones that start in the ducts.
Okay.
And so, generally in the past, you know, first they were doing the mastectomies on them, then they kind of went to the lumpectomies. Now they're really, you know, going back. Now this is a low, like a stage zero cancer.
Okay.
So what they're talking about in this article, so it might not apply to like the more aggressive ones, but again, I think a lot of them start out this way. A lot of them do start out being found because we have such widespread use of the mammography that we're discovering more and more of these little cluster cancer cells in the milk ducts, basically, is what they're in. And they worry that they're going to eventually spread. So a lot of times when they find something, this is what they're finding.
Okay.
And now
going
to the really invasive treatments, they're rethinking, you know, what if I don't do anything? What if I watch and wait? Let's take a look at that, because we could be over-treating and giving unnecessary care.
Well, that's something, too, that people have to realize that, you know, if you go and you get a, quote, dirty mammogram, and it's very small like that, and you do watch and wait, is that these cells might take care of themselves. You know, your body actually is ridding itself of cells all the time. Now, unfortunately, you know, a very vigilant cancer cell replicates itself as a cancer cell. But every now and then, your own immune system turns around and actually, you know, abolishes that abnormality. And you know what? We don't have the reasons why. We don't know why. Sometimes it does. You know, so at any given time, if we had this big machine to walk through and that big machine just said, yeah, you have a cancer cell somewhere within your body, and we may never know. Like, it may never come to something. And that's something that people don't realize. They think, oh, yeah, there's a cancer cell in my body. Now I'm going to have cancer. That may not be a fact.
Right. And the immune system job is to take care of these cancer cells. So, you know, when someone manifests a diagnosis of cancer and a cancer disease, there is somewhere along the line some dysfunction of the immune system that it's not taking care of the cancer cells.
Right.
So, you know, you don't just get to a cancer diagnosis from being a totally healthy person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Usually there's always some ding, 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 bells going off that you question, oh, God, something's not quite right. You know, so that is where you have to kind of know yourself or have your partner or a loved one know you. You know, this is huge with connections with people. Maybe somebody will witness something in you, like maybe you've developed a little limp or something and you don't notice it. And you didn't have any injury or anything like that, but a loved one notices that little limp, like, oh, how come you're limping? Oh, I didn't know I was. And then you find out that, you know, maybe there's some cancer in your hip. And, you know, you always hear these stories, too, that somebody actually has an accident. There was a fellow that I know, and he was actually in a car accident. And he had hit his head and all that. He wound up in the hospital. And from actually being in the hospital and them checking out the head injury and stuff, they found that he had a brain tumor. So it's weird,
right,
how things, you know, just kind of happen in your life. Or somebody walking up the stairs, and as they walked up the stairs, they twisted their ankle, it broke, and then they found out that they had bone cancer. You know, so watch for little weird little synchronicity kind of things, because when there's something really, really wrong going on, you'll get little hints.
Absolutely. And I was just in contact with a gal who lost her dog to an aggressive bone cancer, and that was the first indication that anything was wrong with him was he came up limping. And of course I have a three-legged cat, you're aware of, my little girl Lily, who lost a leg through amputation in December of 2013. And the reason that I found out that she had cancer in her leg was because she started limping. And she had a localized fibrosarcoma, which is a fibrous tissue cancer, that started to eat away at the bone as well. And so it became inflamed, and she started limping. And then x-rays showed that she had a cancer. She had the cancer.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to tell a little bit about that story because, you know, you were talking about being your own advocate when we were discussing this a little earlier. And my cat Lily was taken to a veterinarian who saw these x-rays and said it's an osteosarcoma. An osteosarcoma is a bone tumor, a bone cancer. And they said these things are always aggressive. They said by the time you find them, they've likely already traveled to the lungs. At least some of the cancer cells are already there. Even if you do amputation, the animal has at the most 4 to 6 months because it's metastasized. It's already in the lungs or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a handful of painkillers and sent me home and said, keep her comfortable till you have to put her down, because eventually this bone in her leg was going to break from the pressure of the cancer eating it away, and her leg was going to break, and she would be in so much pain she'd have to be put down. And I took her home, and I was giving her the medications, and it didn't sit right with me. I couldn't believe that was all that I could do for my cat, who is so dear to my heart. She's a family member. And so, you know, I told my husband, I know it's going to be more expense, but I want to take her to this veterinary oncologist that's not a very long drive away. And he said, you know, I understand that you want to do that. And it was very symbolic for him as well, because he was still going through his chemotherapy treatment for his colon cancer. And I think to see me fighting so hard for the cat, and him being involved in fighting so hard for the cat was part of his own fight.
Mm-hmm.
So we took her to the veterinary oncologist, and lots of x-rays and expense, of course, and radiologists in California reading it and everything. But he came back with, this is not one of those aggressive osteosarcomas like that other vet told you. This is a fibrous tissue cancer. You've got a really healthy cat there. If you amputate the leg, she's going to be just fine. Whoa.
Yep.
You know, it's like...
Yep. Yep.
Had I not been my own... Or had I not been an advocate for that cat and said, I can't sit with this diagnosis and let it be, if I'd have believed that vet, she'd have been gone 2 years ago.
Right.
Said she's been healthy and happy up until recently. And she's
so
a,
you've
she's
had
an
two
elder
more years.
Cat. I have to share that. She's an elderly cat anyways. But,
right.
Yeah, but she's been very healthy and happy up until recently. And I have a family member that I got another 2 years with at least. And,
that's right.
That's because I was an advocate for this cat.
Which I think is really important for people to just seek out different alternatives. Now, it was very, very public about somebody like Steve Jobs, okay, who decided not to go your classic cancer treatments, and he sought out alternative things, and he did die. But one thing that I do want to point out is that a lot of people who go with the standard cancer treatments, which is surgery, chemo, and radiation, also die. So this
right.
is very much a choice. You know, it's not that all alternative therapies are something that, you know, geez, that's just quackery and it's not going to help. There's an awful lot of therapies that are out there that can assist or, in the individual's case, may replace something like
right.
chemo.
Something to be pointed out as well, as another famous person, Dr. Wayne Dyer,
mm-hmm.
Diagnosed with leukemia, did not go the standard route.
Right.
And he did die, but he didn't die of leukemia.
That's right.
He was able to be cured of leukemia using alternative treatments.
That's right. There was no
trace. He went to
cancer.
A healer called John of God. It was one
mm-hmm.
of the things that he an energy healer.
Mm-hmm.
So energy healers can help. There's so many options and so many different things that we can discuss along those lines.
One of the main ones that really has intrigued me as I've been doing research, and I brought it up to you also, Dana, was ACAC-T. ACAC-T. And ACAC-T was actually brought out. It's a old Indian remedy. And this nurse, way back in, you know, like the 1920s, I think it was, she lived in Canada. And this older woman came to her, and she noticed that she had a scar by her breast, and she asked the woman about the scar, and the woman said that, that's from where I had had cancer, but I was treated by this Indian person, and it was this tea. So she shared with Maureen Case, what is the nurse's name, shared with her the herbal concoction, the tea, that was actually used on her. And now this nurse became so intrigued because, you know, this woman lived for, you know, like 20 years after being treated. So, you know, that's per near a cure. So she started experimenting with it, especially with people who, the medical establishment at the time had said, you know, okay, well, go home and get your affairs in order because you're going to die. So she was actually applying this tea to the patients, and they were having an amazing response to it. Now, this woman went through hell and back. She lived to be like 91 years old, and during that whole time, when she was trying to help people that had cancer, at first she had the doctor's support, and that was key, you know, different doctors, because they were so intrigued by the whole thing that, you know, doctors would come around and say, hey, you know, I've got this person. Like, for instance, there was one doctor who brought a patient, and he had told the nurse, Case, that this patient had diabetes and colon cancer. So he wanted Maureen, Case, to treat this patient for the colon cancer with the ACACT, and he would treat this patient with insulin for the diabetes. Well, Maureen Case said, no, if you're going to treat her with the insulin, I am not going to treat her with the tea. So he said, well, all right, finally, you know, as they talked back and forth, fine, you try the ACACT, and, you know, if the diabetes gets worse, then we'll stop the ACACT and we'll go to the insulin. So she started actually treating this person with the ACACT, and lo and behold, it actually cleared up the diabetes first and then cleared up the colon cancer. So this tea, which nowadays, actually you can find it online. There's instructions of how to actually make it yourself. I heard through the grapevine that Whole Foods might actually carry it too. And I don't know. I believe if it's not going to kill you, try it. You know, it's found to be safe, even though, you know, it cannot be used as medicine. It's not. You know, so we'll put that disclaimer out there. We can't say that this is a cure. We can't say that, you know, this is a drug or anything like this. These are herbs. Herbs are fine. Right. You can have tea if you want. So the whole thing being with this woman, Maureen Case, is that she was treating people, and at one point, the AMA turned around and she was under attack. And, you know, this woman found quite a few times, you know, she was under the thumb of the law. She had been arrested for actually practicing medicine without a license, different doctors. You know, she could only practice then if she had the diagnosis, and then the doctors started not giving the diagnosis so that she couldn't treat them that way. She couldn't buy the herbs wholesale any longer. So they kind of made it almost impossible for her to help these people who needed her help. And she had affected the cancer progression in thousands of people. And that's why I think, you know, it takes some attention, some looking.
Well, yeah,
it.
I think for if you look on the internet for everything that is touted as something that could be supportive in cancer, you know, in a cancer disease diagnosis, you can find some sort of other article that we'll call it quackery.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's what they were doing with her. So you've got to be discerning, because there are a lot of people out there that will say, I have the miracle cure to cancer.
Right.
And it is quackery. But there are treatments and supplements and different things that can be very helpful and supportive. And the medical association and the big pharmaceutical corporations are going to shoot them down and do everything they can to deny that they have any merit as something that would help the situation, because they really want people to follow the whole medical allopathic routine of treatment, you know, the surgery, the chemotherapy. That's how they make their money. The pharmaceutical companies off things, and the oncologists and the doctors off of their appointments and their seeing patients. So yeah, it takes some discernment, you know.
Right.
And the one thing that you mentioned about the SECT is a piece that goes back to a Dr. Max Gerson in the 1920s, who basically had a three-pronged approach, which is, you know, changing the environment where so that the in the body so that the cancer can't continue to grow, and that's through diet, through supplementation, and detoxification.
Mm-hmm.
And before we go into any more details on that, I just wanted to say that we have a guest call-in number. We haven't mentioned that yet. So if anybody wants to ask any questions, you can reach us at 914-219-0867. That's the guest call-in, 914-219-0867. And once you've called in, you press the number 1 on your handset, and that indicates to us on our studio board that you're interested in asking a question of us, and we'll be happy to bring you on and interact with you about your particular situation. So,
sure.
Even if you don't
have a question, just, you know, your opinion. You may have something
right.
that you want to add.
Mm-hmm. You want to add, absolutely. And we also have a chat room through our Blog Talk Mystic Truth Radio site. So if you want a question or comment in there, we'd love to hear from you there as well.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, but just going back to changing the environment, you know, why does cancer come back? We cut it out. We throw chemicals at it, chemotherapy at it. It kills everything, including the healthy cells.
Mm-hmm.
But why does it come back? And a lot of the thought on that from the alternative and holistic point of view and the integrative and complementary point of view is that if you don't change the environment which enabled the cancer to grow, it still has the opportunity to return.
Right. Right.
So Dr.
And
Matt, first...
That's more than physical, too. So explain
that,
you know, because your environment is, yeah.
Yep, environment, you know, body, environment, mind and spirit, all of it involved, you know, the
Correct.
Whole holistic. But back in the 1920s, this Dr. Max Gerson, who I think went through a similar thing that the lady with the SECT did, and other people who've come up with therapies that do challenge the medical protocols. I think he went through a similar thing of not being, as being put down as not credible and that kind of thing. But,
right.
you know, his approach is really, a lifestyle that to stay healthy, especially in these times when we're exposed to so much stress and, you know, toxic stress, toxic environment, toxic chemicals everywhere around us, we have to do our best to eat clean with our diet, organic if we can, because we want to keep as many chemicals as we can out of the food. We want to
mm-hmm.
eat the food as close to live and vital as possible because it contains the nutrients that our body needs.
Right, right.
And if we don't get those nutrients that our body needs, then we need to supplement with them. For instance, my husband was told by his oncologist that vitamin D deficiency plays a crucial role in cancer development, especially in colon cancer. And when he tested my husband's vitamin D level, it was negligible. They couldn't even find it on a, you know, it was below reading on the chart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though he was getting exposure to vitamin, to sun that's supposed to boost your vitamin D and that kind of thing, some people just have trouble keeping their vitamin D levels. So I got him on a liquid form of vitamin D. Vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, so I got him a liquid form that was in an oil-based, and he started taking droppers full of that, like way past what the dosage that's quote-unquote daily recommended. He was taking like 20,000 IUs a day, and the daily recommended dosage is something like 400. I may be wrong about that, but anyway, mm-hmm. It's way over. And he was able to bring his vitamin D level up to the mid-level, which was a reading around 45, but his integrated medicine doctor told him that even when you're fighting something like that and it is a challenge for you, you should have double what they call normal. You should be up
That's
around
right.
80. Right.
That's right. Right.
You don't want to go to the level that's required if you're fighting something. You want to go up and throw the whole book at it. You really want to give it what you can, as long as it's not a supplement that you can overdose with and you can't
I was
vitamin
just going
D.
to say ask your doctor if it's okay.
Right.
You know, and that's something too. Did you find that raising his levels of vitamin D has actually, you know, brought him more wellness?
That's hard to say overall, but he hasn't had a recurrence of the cancer as of, this summer. He was 2 years cancer free.
Yeah.
So it should be something that he should continue to focus on, which he does.
Right.
The supplementation part of it needs to be individualized.
Yes.
You need to look at an individual. You know, anybody can eat a clean diet. The supplement piece, where are they lacking? Certain
right.
nutrients that will be helpful to support their body.
Correct.
And there's different types of testing that can be done for that. And I don't really want to go into supplementation too much, but just to say that, you know, find a good nutritionist who's going to give you bio-individualized nutrition treatment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that,
every body is different. And that mm-hmm. is why it's nice to have Dana in your back pocket if you can, because she can help you with that. So a little plug for Dana there. But we brought this up when I was interviewing Margaret Totten too, is that every colon cancer is a little different in each and every person, because all of our genes are a little bit different in each and every person. So our approach may have to be a little bit different for each and every person. You know, we
right.
are individuals with individual cells. So this is something that's really, really very important. Understand the cookie cutter approaches that are out there. Luckily, there are centers now that are a little bit more open to trying the alternative therapies, you know, and they are focusing a bit more on the mind and the spirit, which is good. We all know and have heard of like the Cancer Center Treatments of America, you know, stuff like that, where they incorporate meditation, which is really important.
Anything that's going to counter the toxicity of stress.
Exactly.
Because stress is another thing that creates the kind of environment in the body that stress has been proven to affect the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
and your whole adrenal system, your hormonal system. Stress throws so many things off.
That's right.
Stress is, you know, when we talk about the third part, diet, supplementation, and detox, stress is something that we need to detox as well. And however you do it, meditation is a great way. But people say, oh, I can't meditate. I can't sit still. You know, it's a practice. You have to learn it. Try doing it through yogic practices. Do some yoga. Try some Tai Chi. Try some Qigong. Do meditative exercise, because exercise is important, too. Exercise causes us to sweat, and sweat is another form of detoxing our body.
Detoxing, exactly.
Through our perspiration.
Now,
you know,
if we're
sitting in a chair eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew, we're not changing the environment that our cancer grew in.
That's right.
We've got to get up and change our diet, support our body, detox our body, and change the environment.
Right. So
that's absolutely vital.
One of the things that people really need to know is that you have to take a look at your pH balance of your body. So what does that mean? Well, you know, it boils down to your alkaline or acidic. And
Elaine, before we get into that, I just want to again say that anybody who's on the line that wants to ask a question, press 1 on your handset, or if you have a comment. And
right,
then we'll
and
know
then
that
we'll
you have
know to unmute you. Right. Okay. So
alkaline balance,
thank you,
is very important.
Yes, alkaline balance. So what does that mean? Well, things like, believe it or not, meat can be acidic. Things like greens are alkaline. So, you know, it's a matter of finding out where you are on that pH strip, and actually adjusting your diet, your intake, to be something that is more alkaline-based. Now, that gets a little tough, because if it's, say, like colon cancer that you're going through, fiber is very aggravating on the colon tissues. So, you know, God, well, isn't greens all fiber? Well, how about we take the greens that are kind of broken down for us already? So things like chlorella, you know, you can, it comes in generally like a green powder. And you want to be careful where it's sourced from. It is something that is found within the ocean. So North Atlantic is generally always better. The water is cleaner there. And you add that into your diet.
Right.
Again,
or we
remember,
can juice, get rid of the fiber.
Right, exactly. Now, I have brought up on this show before, and I'll bring it up again, because the more I speak it, the quicker maybe I'll get one myself, is the Nutribullet RX. So, you know, the reason that this is good is because of its extraction technology. So it not only blends things down, but it actually pulverizes and draws out the nutrition of it. So, you know, it's kind of akin to like what a cow does when it chews grass. A cow chews the grass, it swallows, it goes into one of its stomachs, and then it kind of regurgitates it back up, and it chews it again. I mean, it's a disgusting thought, but when that finally, that grass goes into the cow's system, it's been chewed, you know, that one particle chewed thousands and thousands of times. Well, as people, we don't do that. You know, we chew and then we swallow. You know, we get it so that it's small enough so that it can go down. Again, if you have, you know, stomach cancer or colon cancer or something like that, you want to kind of help it along and break those greens down. So, you know, Nutribullet RX, that one actually looks good to me. And then you can actually break open different capsules if you want to and throw that into whatever concoction you're coming up with. So, a concoction that might be good. Can you think of anything off the top of your head, Dana, that, you know, people might go, oh, yeah, that would be good? There's a couple I can think of.
What are you thinking of, Elaine?
Well, I think if you can put in things like cucumber, and mm-hmm. that means the whole thing along with the skin and stuff, and then actually, you know, I'm not sure about this one, some pineapple, because there's the digestive enzymes that are in it. Then if we can put in some shaga mushrooms, because I believe that those have a bit more black to them, and black foods are a little bit more longevity. And then actually open up things like put in a little bit of turmeric for inflammation. You know, a little bit of ginger can be the same way. And okay. then you can add in some of your, now this is only if you can tolerate it, a little bit of spirulina, maybe a little bit of chlorella. And, you know, these are all things that I listen to David Wolf. So I think people might be interested in looking him up. And he also is one of the spokespeople for Nutribullet RX. And
okay, so when you said good, you meant effective, not taste good. Because I think
yeah.
most people out there are going, if I throw all those things together, I won't be able to drink it. So you can throw some apple juice in there. You can throw some carrot juice in there. You can throw some pineapple in there. You can throw some things in. You can throw some, you know, some natural sweetener like honey in. You can throw some things in so that you can actually get it down.
Right, right.
And the other
yeah.
thing that you didn't touch on that's really important in the detoxification pathway, which will help take both harmful chemicals if you're undergoing chemotherapy or take toxins out of your system in any case, is the cruciferous vegetables, because those actually support your liver in the phase two detox pathway. Your liver has two detoxification pathways, a phase one and a phase two. Mm-hmm. And if either one of them is slowed, and this can come down to your genetics, too, and this is why the whole practice of nutrigenomics and checking your genes and where you might be compromised is coming into the forefront of nutrition, then you need to support that phase two pathway. With cruciferous vegetables, which everybody probably thinks of, if they know a little bit about it, they think of broccoli right away.
Right.
But also Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, then your leafy greens like collard greens and kale, arugula, bok choy, watercress. A
right.
few others are horseradish. Did I say cauliflower? Rutabagas, turnips, rutabagas and turnips, and wasabi. So all of those are great detoxing vegetables and will help support your phase two liver pathway. So you don't even have to, you know, juice these things. If you like Brussels sprouts, eat Brussels sprouts,
right.
hopefully organic if you can, or eat broccoli. Eat kale, again, hopefully organic if you can, especially kale because it's one of those vegetables that's on a list called the Dirty Dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can Google the Dirty Dozen and you will find the 12 most pesticide and herbicide laden vegetables if you do not buy them organic.
Right. Now, that is to say, too, the things that you just named off, again, if you are dealing with stomach or colon cancer, you may want to make it into a soup so that, you know, the fiber isn't actually aggravating what you've just gone through, because odds are, you know, if you have stomach or colon cancer, you've had surgery on top of it, and you probably have...
After Bruce's surgery, it wasn't long before he was able to eat fibrous food again.
That was with him
taking 5 feet of his colon out and then, you know, putting it back, sewing it back together. So, you know, it heals fairly quickly. So I don't want to give people the impression that they should stay away from fiber either.
Right, right.
Just know when your doctors tell you at what point you're healed enough to start eating more fibrous foods, and that really doesn't take that long.
Right. Now, the thing that I was leaning towards, because I just totally blanked on what it was called, it's leaky gut. So if you have leaky gut, then that actually comes a little bit more, too, to breaking down as much of it beforehand as you can. But like you said, if you know, you're at a point where you can eat it, certainly eat it. It's good. It's kind of my go-to kind of food. You can learn to like it, especially when you believe that, you know, it's making you healthy and keeping you as whole as possible. So what are some other things? I think actually talking about inflammation, which kind of couples right in with stress, is another crazy factor for the cause of cancers. And so what are some of the ways? And, you know, we've hashed over this subject over and over again, but I combat inflammation myself on a regular basis. And, you know, we just have to find out what's causing it, because I'm finding that more and more and more people, especially women, walk around and go, I don't know why I got swollen ankles. Look at my stomach. It's so distended. And, you know, what is it out there that we're doing? That what's happening? You know, how come we are dealing with these things, that puffiness, and we just say, oh, well, it's just our hormones. But, you know, what is it? What are we doing wrong? And one of the things that you and I had mentioned to each other, Dana, is bad estrogens. So you want to talk about that a little bit, because some people don't even realize that there is something that is bad estrogen. And this really goes for a lot of people who have breast cancer or cancer, and they're putting them on things that will eliminate estrogen completely out of their bodies. And we had talked about some of the measures that people can do, because maybe you don't have to get rid of your good estrogen. Maybe you just have to get rid of your bad estrogen. So can you talk about that for a minute, Dana?
Yeah, well, a lot of the there are some of the breast cancers that are supposedly when the estrogen levels are high in the body, they're more likely to be aggressive. So reducing the estrogen level in the body is important. And I think that's actually what that the drug tamoxifen is given
Correct.
To women for.
Correct.
But we can do a lot to control estrogens in our body by taking a look at what might be causing estrogenic activity that we weren't aware of, and that is two different sources of estrogens, which one is called phytoestrogens, and those actually come from plants.
Right.
Plants that increase estrogenic activity in the body. The first one that comes to mind, and everybody's pretty much aware of it, is soy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of others. Soybeans, you can look it up. It's phyto, P PHYTO estrogens, and those are plant-based estrogens. So if you are, you know, in a situation where you have maybe an estrogen dominant situation in your body, or you have developed maybe a cancer that is based on an overabundance of estrogen, you want to look at those phytoestrogens, see how many you're getting in your diet, and make a point to decrease them.
Right.
The same thing with xenoestrogens, and that's X-E-N-O estrogens. And these are estrogenic compounds that come from our environment and from the chemicals that we're exposed to. So, for instance, our plastic soda bottles.
That's the A number one, right?
Right. Also, you know, they contain something called bisphenol A or BPA. So you should always use a plastic bottle that's BPA free. But that BPA is also used as a liner in canned foods.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to avoid that BPA, you should also not eat canned foods, because you're all you're getting a dose of that every time you do.
Right.
All the insecticides that are on the foods, pretty much all of them, are xenoestrogens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not eating organic, you're getting exposed to those. A lot
right.
of building supplies, the kind of chemicals that come out of fresh carpet and that outgas from that. There's just, again, people should look that up, X-E-N-O estrogens, xenoestrogens, because we are very, fruits and vegetables sprayed with pesticides, plastic water bottles, Tupperware, nail polish, makeup, birth control, all sources of xenoestrogens. Lots of everyday items contain them. So when you figure that these things are not biodegradable, that they're stored in our fat cells, it's been said that the buildup of these xenoestrogens are indicated in lots of conditions like breast cancer, prostate, testicular cancer, obesity, infertility, endometriosis, early onset puberty, miscarriages, diabetes.
Uh-huh.
And then if you add to that, once again, we were talking about that phase two liver detox, some people genetically will be compromised in that area, and that's where these xenoestrogens, these phytoestrogens, and other estrogens are broken down in the body. And if that, again, if that detoxification pathway is not working well, these things will not be broken down, and they'll continue to circulate in your bloodstream and have an estrogenic endocrine effect.
Right. Right. Now, there is one thing that I want to mention to people, too, with that long list you came up of, you know, great things. But here's one that maybe people really didn't think of. It might be something that you take a look at every single day, and that's your shower curtain liner. A lot of
mm-hmm.
people hang, you know, up a plastic shower curtain liner, and then they put a cloth shower curtain over that. Well, guess what? If you've got one of those, BPA, you know, and here
yep.
you are, you're pouring hot water on it, and you're breathing in those fumes every single day. So it is important to really kind of do investigating. I mean, Dana and I are not, you know, encyclopedias full of all this stuff. This is just a hint of where you can actually go and you can start to look at different things, do your own research, and eliminate things. We sit and we have our bottles of Poland Spring waters, you know, the small bottles you take out of the house with you. Now, that's how they sell them. So what are you going to do? Or you buy spring water off the shelf. God, it's already in a plastic bottle. What are you going to do? And that's the dilemma that I think we have, is that, you know, we have to start asking for, not necessarily demanding, but asking for something that is safe. Because here we are, you know, we're told not to drink tap water. Tap water is dead. It's been, you know, chlorinated or whatever. And it's just dead water. It's not good for you. So you go and you look for spring water, but then they're kind of counteracting the goodness of the spring water by the containers that it's stored in. So, you know, this is a dilemma.
Trying to get a water system in your house, or we can go to grocery stores around here and, you know, get the big plastic bottles that you know, that go on a water dispenser, and we just fill them with filtered water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, yeah. I wanted to give some guidelines here on how to avoid some exposure to that. And when it comes to food, you want to avoid pesticides and herbicides and fungicides if you can, which means choosing organic, locally grown and in-season foods. If you cannot get organic, peel those non-organic fruits and vegetables.
Perfect. Yep.
And you want to buy hormone-free meats and dairy products to avoid the hormones and pesticides in there. As far as plastics is concerned, just try and get rid of them whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
Don't microwave food in plastic containers.
Oh, that's
big. A lot of people do that. And, you know, mm-hmm. now they have these steam-in bags and that kind of thing. You're leaching that plastic toxin into the food.
Right.
Avoid using plastic wrap to cover food, especially for storing or microwaving. Use
mm-hmm.
glass or ceramics whenever possible to store your food. Don't leave plastic containers, especially your drinking water, in the sun. Like if you leave it in the car, don't go back, and it's a hot day. Don't go back and then drink that water, because all those plastics have leached even more into the water.
Mm-hmm.
If any plastic container heats up significantly, throw it away. Don't refill it. Avoid freezing water in plastic bottles as well. As far as household products, look for chemical-free, biodegradable laundry and household cleaning products. Choose chlorine-free products and unbleached paper products if you can.
Yeah, which
is
hard.
Use a chlorine filter on your shower head and filter drinking water.
Yep.
And then there's the health and beauty piece. Avoid creams and cosmetics.
Yep.
With those toxic chemicals, minimize exposure to nail polish and nail polish removers. I can't believe those ladies that work in those salons and smell that all day.
Oh, yeah.
Use
it's
naturally
bad.
Based fragrances such as essential oils, because, you know, those things they sell you in those pretty bottles for $50 a piece have all kinds of chemicals in them.
Right. Right.
Chemical-free soaps and toothpaste. And at the office, you know, there's all kinds of outgassing from copiers and printers, from carpets, fiberboards. You know, even at the gasoline pump, you're smelling all that gasoline. So, you know, I know that's overwhelming when you hear all of those places that you're getting exposed to these toxins. And it's scary. But every one of us here, either on the phone or listening, knows a family member or a friend or someone, a colleague, who's had to deal with cancer. Cancer's starting to run rampant. And
yep.
A chiropractor friend of mine who was undergoing treatment himself went to a therapy center in Michigan, and they told him that one out of every two men and one out of every three women will develop cancer the way things are going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's scary, too, and I'm not trying to scare anybody out there. I'm just trying to stress how important it is to take care of your body and employ some of just even one of these techniques, you know, change your lifestyle a little bit. You don't have to go whole hog and just, I have to change everything and that's so overwhelming. You know, just
right.
stop drinking water out of plastic bottles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just
simple
cut
measures.
Down some of your sugar every day because sugar is very toxic and it makes the body very acidic.
Mm-hmm.
Use, you know, instead of using sugar in your coffee, decide that you're going to use honey or maple syrup. Or even switch to organic sugar is better than the sugar that you get out of the bag, because the sugar that you get out of the bag isn't even cane sugar. It comes from GMO beets, genetically modified beets. And anything that's genetically modified is genetically modified to be resistant to a lot and survive a lot of spraying by herbicides, fungicides, and pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed genetically to grow through that. So whatever people have to say about genetically modified foods, oh, you know, it can't be that bad for you. The geneticists made this thing and they thought carefully about it. Well, maybe they did, but it's still getting, I mean, just bathed in all these chemicals to get to your plate.
Right. Right. So these things are suggested prior to getting the diagnosis of cancer, and especially urgent after the diagnosis of cancer, because now you're in that battle. So the battle needs to be started before a diagnosis comes. And
right.
we can't stress
well,
that.
Well, when you think about those
enough.
Numbers, one in every two men, one in every three women.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to be taking care of yourself. And if
right.
you don't know how to do it, go to a professional and get help.
Right. Now, there are some things that you can do, simple things that can help you if you're actually finding yourself, say, like under chemotherapy or whatever. You know, there's different ways to be able to calm your system down. Quite often, radiation and chemotherapy, you know, you've got these skin issues going on. So how can you calm it down? One thing that I've heard is to do cold compresses of chamomile and lavender tea. So, you know, because it's almost like you're burnt. You know, if you look at those treatments, like I have now been burnt. So how would you handle a burn? Coconut oil is also very cooling and soothing. But again, it's up to the individual and what is going on with your skin. Coconut oil is another thing. I was talking to a hairdresser the other day, and she was saying how sad it is when the women come into her and their hair is starting to come back in, which, you know, they're thrilled because their hair is coming back in. But that hair, they call it curly. And I said that hair is actually more like it's burnt. And she's like, so what do I do? And I said, that coconut oil that you're talking about, it can actually try to take it. It's kind of like taking plastic or saran wrap. You brought up the plastic that covers food. Well, what happens when you hold that plastic over heat? It kind of shrivels. Well, it's that same kind of thing that's going on with your hair. It's some of that same type of thing, the toxins coming to the surface on your skin. So, you know, what can you do to help that? If you are just going and buying lotion off the shelf at your local drugstore or something, oh my God, make sure that it is a very, very low reading, a 3 or under, no more than a 3 on the, what is that website that I want to bring up, Dana? I'm drawing a blank on the name of the website that you can hunt up, like the toxicity levels.
I'm not sure what, I'm not with you, sorry.
God, I have a blank on it. You can look up makeup on it and see what the rating is of the product. I will post it on Facebook because, again, I'm kind of drawing a blank on it. It's like AWG or something like that. And it's a rating system for lotions and stuff like that. So you want to make sure that it's a 3 or under for anything that you're actually going to put on your skin. And that will help, because the last thing that you want to do is actually make it worse after you've been in the middle of treatments. Also, sometimes you wind up getting sores within your mouth because of having the treatments. That's when you actually may want to look at coconut oil in your mouth, or neem oil, and the regular toothpaste may be just way too harsh. And actually, you know, the fluoride in your toothpaste is not a good idea anyhow. So neem oil is something that is, you know, suggested and can help with the sores in the mouth and the receding of the gums. Honestly, you know, the last thing that you really have to worry about is teeth whitening when you're going through a battle of cancer. So, and we will talk more about these kind of things. In a few weeks, we'll actually be having Gina Rainwater back on again, and we'll approach some of this stuff through the doshas, through the Ayurvedic philosophy of how to get your body into balance. So watch for that in a few weeks. We'll have Gina Rainwater back on. So, do you have anything more that you would like to add for today? Because this has been a really chock full kind of a show there, Dana.
It has been chock full. The one thing we didn't touch on, and I just want to touch on it briefly because we could get off on a long discussion of it here, is people are familiar pretty much, I think, with Louise Hay and her book, You Can Heal Your Life. And, you know, what emotionally and spiritually might be going on in different disease processes and how she identifies those. And when she talks about cancer, which she is a survivor of, a lot of people, you know, who are in the more spiritual teaching field, a lot of them have had their lives changed by a cancer diagnosis. And that's how Louise Hay started out looking at alternatives for herself. But, you know, she asked the question with cancer, what's eating at you? And where do you have deep hurt, deep secrets, or grief? And if you and that's something that you need to start in her mind that you need to start exploring, and you know, doing that in different ways can be helpful. I'm thinking off the top of my head, meditating is good, visualization. Journaling, finding support groups, doing imagery. Louise Hay says affirmations. And in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, her affirmation for healing cancer is, I lovingly forgive and release all of the past. I choose to fill my life with joy. I love and approve myself. So,
perfect.
You know, forgiveness is a big part of for most people, of healing whatever's eating you, eating at you, whatever deep hurt, whatever deep secrets or deep grief. For my husband, I always felt it was guilt, that he didn't do enough for his parents, because they were very, those kind of parents who always manipulated with the guilt thing. So, you know, that was something that I've always felt that he needed to heal in order to help heal his cancer. And it is something that he did heal through the process. You know, he learned to not take things so seriously.
Well, the
and
whole thing
those are
with
the kind
this,
of things like emotionally and mentally and, you know, spiritually that you'll need to look at as well. But that's another big conversation. We're not going to go all day
today.
It's
a huge conversation. The only thing is that even if it doesn't change your physical outcome on a on your journey of dealing with cancer, what it will do is it will shift your spirit. And, you know, the whole thing is because at some point all of us are going to die. We've brought that up over and over and over again. At some point, you will die. Can you do it peacefully and without regret?
Right.
And so, you know, it's never too late to work on that. It's important to work on that. So then I would say...
To heal those things so that you don't have to karmically come back and have to heal them in another life.
Oh, hell no. Don't want to do that again.
Let them go here and now. You don't need them.
That's right.
And again,
that's right.
If you have trouble doing that yourself, find an advocate, find a professional, find a coach. Elaine and I both do the Envision process, which is a very transformative type of coaching that really helps you get through those deep hurts and griefs and secrets on a subconscious level where they're held in your mind and your body.
Yep.
And we can help you move past that kind of thing. So
that's right. That's
reach
right.
out. You can't deal with something like this alone.
No,
and
you don't want to.
If you feel your body is in a place where it's not healthy, get help. Reach out to someone.
Right. Right. Don't go it alone. We're all in this petri dish together. Woohoo. So,
yep, we're all in this petri dish together.
All right.
Good
well,
point.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. We really like to hear your comments and stuff. So if you go to our Facebook page, Mystic Truth Radio, or you can go on to our website, which is www.mystictruth.net, and submit your comments or questions. We will certainly get back to you on that. And so for Mystic Truth Radio, I am Elaine Reed Cole. You can reach me individually on Facebook, or you can also go to my website, www.thewingedmystic.com, and Dana.
And I'm Dana Zimmerman. You can find me on the Mystic Truth Radio Facebook page or my Dana Zimmerman Facebook page or at www.danazimmerman.com.
All
so
right.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please comment or communicate with us if there's any more information or questions that we can help you with, or reach out for help if we can help you. And thanks for listening today, and we'll see you next week at noon. Until then,
let's keep talking about it. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.